Have you ever blown past the guardrails that God has set up for you? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
There are consequences that come from going over the guardrail. There's the internal damage that comes, especially comes to a Christian who sins against the Lord, who goes over the guardrail, willingly, knowingly goes over the guardrail. There's the external damage that comes when you blow past the guardrail. You hurt other people. We don't live in a vacuum. Your sin affects your loved ones. My sin affects my loved ones. And when you go over the guardrail in a terrible, horrible fashion, you affect other people. There is tremendous damage.
He can heal every scar.
This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and today we're going to learn three key lessons from the life of David, from the failure of David, and then from the restoration of David. Now, this story is a warning to us, but it's also an encouragement, a great hope-filled encouragement that if we do what David did, there's abundant grace to help in our time of need. If you've been listening this month, you know that we've been in Pastor Jeff Shreve's 7-message series, The Truth in Love. And today's message, entitled, When You Blow Past the Guardrail, is the last in the powerful and inspiring series. Now, if you missed any of these great messages along the way, you can listen to them again online when you go to fromhisheart.org, click the radio tab. This entire series is available in DVD format, CDs, a USB flash drive, or as an immediate MP3 download, the entire series, when you make a gift to From His Heart this month of any amount. Just call 866-40-BIBLE or go online to fromhisheart.org for more information. But if you can now, open your Bible to the book of 2 Samuel. Here again is Pastor Jeff Shreve to conclude this vital lesson for us called When We Blow Past the Guardrails.
2 Samuel chapter 11 says this, Then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David stayed at Jerusalem. Now when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and one said, Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Then David sent messengers and took her, and when she came to him, he lay with her, and when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house, and the woman conceived, and she sent and told David and said, I am pregnant. David blew past the guardrails. I want us to learn together three key lessons from the life of David, from the failure of David, and then from the restoration of David. Lesson number one, no one is immune from committing terrible, horrible sin. Egregious sin. No one is immune from that. And I think to have this situation in David's life, David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, David, the man who's talked about more than anybody else and more than any mortal man in the scripture, and David committed these terrible, horrible sins. The sin of lust and adultery and stealing and murder and lying. David did that. No one is immune from terrible, horrible sin. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. To the one who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Now, between standing and falling, the scripture says take heed. That word blepo in the Greek, one word in the Greek, it means beware. If you think you stand, beware lest you fall. You let your guard down, you start to coast, you start to compromise, you start to rationalize, and what happened to him can easily happen to you because no one is immune. There is no temptation that has overtaken you that is uncommon to man. All temptation is common to man, and no one is immune. Second lesson, No one is immune from the damaging consequences of sin. So you're not immune to committing terrible, horrible sin. That's why you have to guard your heart. You have to be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You have an enemy within, and that enemy is called the flesh. And that flesh wants to murder and lust and do and steal and do all these terrible things and gossip and be bitter. Your flesh inside. And so we have to be on guard all the time. No one is immune from the terrible, horrible sins, and no one is immune from the damaging consequences of sin. The Bible says in the book of James, when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. But now, as we see in David's story, it doesn't bring them immediately. It always brings them eventually. Scripture says in Galatians chapter 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. The thing that David had done was evil in the sight of the Lord. Chapter 12, verse 1. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said, he's going to speak the truth in love to David. And David's going to think it's more truth than love. He said, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man is David, the poor man, Uriah. But David doesn't realize he's being set up. The rich man had a great many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and his children. It would eat of his bread and drink of his cup and lie in his bosom. It was like a daughter to him. Then a traveler came to the rich man. The traveler in David's situation was lust. A traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take from his own flock or his own herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. But he took the poor man's ewe lamb. He took Bathsheba and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger burned greatly against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. And he must make restitution for the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and had no compassion. Nathan then said to David, you are the man. You are the man. And what you've done is so much worse than the story that I just told you. No one is immune from the damaging consequences of sin. First of all, there is the internal damage that takes place when you go over the guardrail, when you blow past the guardrail, when you just, I'm going into sin. The grass is greener on the other side of this guardrail. God's truth, I don't like it. I don't buy it. I'm going to do my own thing. And you go over there. Hey, there are consequences that come from going over the guardrail. And you can choose to go over the guardrail, but what you can't choose is you can't choose the consequences for going over the guardrail. The consequences choose you. David broke five commandments. Somebody said one time, you know, you really don't break God's laws. You're broken on them. And David's going to be broken on them. There's the internal damage that comes, especially comes to a Christian who sins against the Lord, who goes over the guardrail, willingly, knowingly goes over the guardrail. And the scripture says, Proverbs 28, 13, he who covers his sin will not prosper. And David wasn't prospering. And he had guilt, and he had shame, and he had isolation because he was cut off from God, because he wasn't right with God. Did he go worship? Yeah, he went to worship. Just like so many of us do. He went to worship, and he's singing the songs, but he's not right in his heart, and he knows it. And long before Nathan said, you're the man, David's conscience was saying to him, you're the man, you're the man, you're the man. Look what you did. Look what you did. You committed adultery. You murdered Uriah. You've covered it up. You're lying about it. You're a fake. You're a fraud. You're a hypocrite. You're a phony. And all the time, he says in Psalm 32, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, God, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Selah, which means pause. Get yourself in this position. See where I was. I was miserable in my sin. There's the internal damage. And those who lie about other people in our world today, lying about things and making outlandish accusations about people, and you do it for a notoriety or for gain or trying to destroy someone, and the person continues in that lie. You know what we don't see in the news? We don't see that person at 2 o'clock in the morning when they wake up in a cold sweat and their conscience is convicting them over and over and tearing them apart. Hey, there's an internal damage, or there is internal damage, but then there's also external damage. Nathan goes on to say in verse 7, he said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel." Then Nathan gets out of the way and God speaks through him. And God says, "It is I who anointed you king over Israel. And it is I who delivered you from the hand of Saul. And I also gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your care. And I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added to you many more things like these. Why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, have taken his wife to be your wife. He stole her. You have killed him with the sword of the sons of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me. And you have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you from your own household. I will even take your wives before your eyes and give them to your companion, and he shall lie with your wives in broad daylight. Indeed, you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and under the sun. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has taken away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born to you shall surely die. So Nathan went to his house. There's the external damage that comes when you blow past the guardrail. You hurt other people. We don't live in a vacuum. Your sin affects your loved ones. My sin affects my loved ones. And when you rise to the level of king or to a level of leadership, when you go over the guardrail in a terrible, horrible fashion, you affect other people. There is tremendous damage. See, your life and your loved ones are severely wounded. And that was number one in David's situation. Wrecked his life and hurt his kids. Didn't happen immediately. Oh, he's going to lose the child that was conceived by him and Bathsheba. He's going to lose that child, God told him. And that's going to be the first of four sons who are going to die because of his sin. But he unleashes things into his life and into his family. See, here's the thing. You reap what you sow. If you sow peas, you're not going to reap turnip greens. You reap what you sow, for good or for bad. David sowed sexual sin. He reaped sexual sin in his family. David sowed murder with the sword of Ammon. What did he reap? He reaped the death of his children with the sword, namely Absalom killing Amnon. And then when Absalom tries to take the kingdom from David, Joab, David's general, ends up killing Absalom. And then later on, Solomon, who is king, is going to kill his brother Adonijah. Four sons were killed. The sword shall never depart from your house. Oh, the external damage. Your life and loved ones are severely wounded. And then your witness is trashed and God is blasphemed. It says, because of this deed, you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born to you shall surely die. What David did was so shameful and so egregious, it caused the enemies of God to blaspheme God. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, to blaspheme means to spurn, to abhor, to despise. And they just said, oh, there's another phony baloney believer in Jehovah. You know, those people, they talk a big game, but they don't ever walk it out. They're not true blue. That's not a true Christian. I've never seen a true Christian. All you Christians are just a bunch of liars. You talk about, oh, this is the guardrail, and then you just jump over it. You just plow over it, and why should I believe in your God? Your witness gets trashed. God gets blasphemed. David had prayed in Psalm 69, verse 6, my Lord God, all-powerful, don't let me embarrass your followers. God of Israel, don't let me bring disgrace to those who worship you. But he did because of his sin. Hey, let me just say to everyone in this room, especially to moms and to dads and to young people, going over the guardrail, blowing past the guardrail, listen to me, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. The pain that you will inflict on your family, it's not worth it. Don't do it. There is love in truth, and God lovingly puts up the guardrail that says, don't hurt yourself. This is here for your protection. But then lesson number three, no one is immune from committing terrible, horrible sin. No one is immune from the damaging effects of sin and consequences of sin, but anyone can find forgiveness in the grace of God. And David found forgiveness in the grace of God. Nathan calls him out, and David responds in verse 13, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has taken away your sin. You shall not die. Hey, if you, Lord, should mark iniquity, oh Lord, who could stand? But there's forgiveness with you that you may be feared. And God sent the ambulance of his grace to David. So what David did, we don't want to do what he did in lesson number one or in lesson number two, but we do want to follow in his footsteps for lesson number three. We want to find forgiveness in the grace of God. Now what he did, you can do. First of all, you can honestly and humbly confess your sin. David did that. Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, David writes two psalms about this sin with Bathsheba and Uriah and the whole mess. And he tells us about needing God's forgiveness and seeking God's forgiveness and crying out to the Lord for forgiveness. 2 Samuel 12, 13, all it records is, I have sinned against the Lord. But there's confession in that, and you and I can honestly and humbly confess our sins to the Lord. Don't try and put lipstick on a pig. Name it and nail it to the cross of Jesus Christ. And then you can sincerely repent and turn from your sin. See, confession and repentance, those things are connected. When we really confess our sins, we're turning from those sins. And when we repent, confession is included in that, but we've separated out just to show the difference. Okay, confession means that you agree with God. Homologeo is the Greek word for confess. It means I say the same thing that God says. I say, God, you're righteous and I'm wicked. God, this is the way it's supposed to be. Where you put the guardrail, that's the right spot. It's not where I put it. And Lord, your ways are right. And God, I stand before you a sinner and I've committed terrible, horrible sin. And you're right. As David says, you're justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. I've sinned against you. And repentance is a change of mind. Repentance is a turning away from that thing that drew you away. That's repentance. It's when you get up from the sin and you leave the sin behind and you say, I'm not going there anymore. I'm going to go back to my Father. So you can't get right with God when you're in sin. That's why the sexual revolution that is going on all around us that says, hey, you can be committing fornication, you can be committing adultery, you can be committing the sin of homosexuality. Doesn't matter because God loves you and God's for you. And listen, God does love you. God is for you. But if you want to get right with God, you got to leave the pigsty. You're never gonna get right with God at the pigsty. You can't get right with God at the pigsty because God isn't at the pigsty. That's why I get fired up about this, because you hear all these people and what do? They call people like me a hater. A hater, why? Because you're pointing out the guardrail. You're saying, you keep talking about the guardrail. We don't want the guardrail. Only haters talk about the guardrail. Let me tell you what a hater is. A hater is somebody that says you're fine and dandy living at the pigsty because you're gonna die and go to hell at the pigsty. You have to leave the pigsty. You can't get right with God at the pigsty. And when you leave the pigsty and you come back to the Father, what do you find? You find a God who runs to you and embraces you and loves you and forgives you. That doesn't happen at the pigsty. That happens when you leave the pigsty. You can sincerely repent and turn from sin, and you can be forgiven and restored, but with scars. They're scars. David had scars from what he did. His family had scars from what happened. God forgives the sin, but he didn't forgive the consequences. But even in the midst of that, here's the beautiful thing about scars, because nobody likes that. Well, I want God to erase the scars. He doesn't erase the scars, but here's the thing about the scars. God can use the scars for his glory to help someone else. I think there may be some people here, and you blow them past the guardrail, and you find yourself at the pigsty, and your life just feels broken and shattered, and you think there's no way God could love me, but he does. And if you'll leave the pigsty, and you'll confess your sin, and you'll come to him, he'll run to you, and he'll forgive you, and he'll wash you white as snow. As Jesus said to the woman in Luke 7, the prostitute, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. But you have to come to him.
Would you like to come to the Lord today and place your faith in him for eternity? The vast majority of people who listen to Christian radio are Christians. But there are also many who are seeking and looking and praying for a word of hope and for some light for their life, because they know that they've blown past all of God's guardrails. Maybe that's you. If you're looking for answers for hope, then you're hurting. Jesus is the answer. And we want to invite you to simply go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link. There you're going to find a logical sequence of pages and inspiration that'll guide you to understanding who Jesus is, why he is the only way, and help you understand the hope that he can bring to you today and for forever. Plus, there's some free materials to help you in your Christian journey. He wants you to come to him. Find out what that means. fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link. We're so grateful that you're listening today to the message, When You Blow Past the Guardrails, from Pastor Jeff's series, The Truth in Love. You know, it's a hard truth, but it is true, that we should hear and apply to our lives. There's so much false religious narrative out there today, so we must be grounded in God's truth that doesn't change. From His Heart exists to tell the world this truth, and when you join with us financially, you are, in essence, investing in the lives of people around the world to learn and activate that truth in their lives, and we appreciate it. To thank you for your gift of support this month, we want to send you Pastor Jeff's 7-message series, The Truth in Love, in the format of your choice. Make your gift today when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. Thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be here tomorrow when Pastor Jeff will begin an exciting series that'll also help each of us be a courageous warrior for the faith as he sounds the alarm for all to hear. That's on Friday, right here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.